Live, Discovery Paranormal, you people out there. Tonight, we're going to talk about darkness. We're going to talk about light. We're going to talk about people's point in the darkness and the light. Or, it depends on how you look at it, man. You know, a martial artist looks at it like, you know, yang is the dark that we, the force that we move with, you know, yin, the light, that force that allows us to move. And it's a harmony between the two. I've talked about that on the show before, of course. But some people kind of look at it as like this dogmatic thing or this heavy thing. And I notice there's a lot of negative energy out there, and people just aren't grounded to it. Then, and couple that, you get others who are messing around, man, messing around with Ouija boards, messing around with things they shouldn't be messing around with. Go, I had one couple in California. They went to this haunted house extravaganza. People took out the Ouija board. They were calling out the spirits, messing around too. And then this is the deal. If you're out there laughing right now, this show's not for you, because you're the person that's got the closed mind and you don't understand the way things work. This is the way things work. And there's people out there who are listening to the show who have well-versed in this world. And you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. When you open the door, anything can walk through. When you open a door and encourage something to walk through, especially if you're drunk and stupid and you're messing around, you light some candles, you go a little crazy. Listen, man, this couple went and did exactly that. Something followed them home. They invited, you know, come home with us. We have a nice house, whatever, you know. So, one, you don't go to things like that unless you really have a mission about you. The people that I know who are paranormal investigators have a mission, and they go into a certain situation, and then they try to move those spirits on. They try to help the spirits on that side of the world. You know, it's like they're an ambulance, you know, or the Dr. Phil of the paranormal world. They're trying to move things on and or settle things down. And these situations, many of them have families with children, whatever. They got to live in that house, and then stuff happens. Unsettling enough where it interferes with their life, with their sleep, that type of thing. So on this show tonight, I'm going to tell you how to like ward off evil spirits, man, how to protect yourself. Because protecting yourself, just like when you're out and about in the street, just like when you're in a store, you know, somebody could go berserk. That's one thing. Protecting yourself from someone putting energy against you, the evil eye, which is a big deal. When someone has so much anger or hate or something like that towards you, and it builds and it builds and it builds, that energy doesn't go away. And you have to be able to deflect it and dissipate it and maybe even put a stop to it and dealing with that person. But in the spirit world, it's a whole different world, because these spirits, the ones that want to do this harm, are earthbound entities. They've got some conflict, a problem, or whatever, and they are there to torment you. They're going to make your life a living hell. They're there to be on your heels every step of the way, breathe down your back, and follow you around, do terrible things to you, like the IRS. You know what I mean? It's all about understanding that energy and knowing how to use it and to move it. So I tell people who want to get into that, I tell them to get into martial arts. Because in martial arts, you can learn all that. It's not just about, you know, chopping a watermelon in half with your hand. It's more like, hey, I'm going to use this energy. It's divine energy. And if you know how to weave that energy and put that energy together, you got to make those nice webs, I like to call it. When you know how to do that, you're like you know, you're like leading an orchestra. You're a maestro. And then you can use that energy to your advantage. At that rate, the negative energy out there become tools. Not to say that evil isn't powerful, you know? Not to say that there are people out there that just do harm. There's also people out there that live in misery. Those people living in misery, they're not going to give you any kind, loving words. They're not going to be uplifting. They're going to be a hole in the ground. And when you see them and encounter them, they want you to come down to their hole and talk to them. They don't want to come out of that hole and talk to you. They don't want to come out in the sunshine. They don't want to come out of there in the fresh air. They want to be in that hole, stay in that hole, and sometimes they even dig deeper in the hole, and they want you in that hole. So, yeah, misery loves company. How do you protect yourself against that? You know what? You either have to walk away from a situation like that, or you have to be able to really be that friend and say, listen, I'll talk to you, but you got to get out of this hole. You know, it's like that. And you be the positive one. But a lot of times people let other people's emotions overpower them and they drag them back into said hole. And then they rot there for their entire lives. And they never have any good, they never have any fun. Life is miserable. Hey, how you doing? Oh, this is terrible. Oh, my God. Whatever. Hey, how you doing? Oh, man, you know, life and whatever. Oh, yeah. And that's why I don't like hanging around negative people, because it's just a bombardment. And some people, you just, you know, it's not that you can't help them. It's that they don't want to help. And some people, like, get into that mentality where that misery feels good. It's like an old pair of pants, you know, old shirt, old shoes. They can lay around in. It feels good to them. They don't want to get rid of it. So the spirit world isn't too different than that. The spirit world are a lot of them, many people have passed, and then they're hanging out. They're hanging around. Some have done terrible things. Some have just, they're confused. They don't know what they're doing. Whatever the energy is, it's bad. It's not like a visitation. It's not like you're sitting there thinking about your grandma, Sally, and all of a sudden, you know, you feel like someone kissed you on your cheek. You smell something, like smell her perfume fill the room. You think you're crazy because you smell all this perfume, and you know damn well that that perfume's not in your house, yet you had this visitation. They're giving you signs. They're giving you signs like using your memories and evoking things, you know. And you imagine if you had the entire timeline of your life, all of life that we know it in our realm of life, this realm, in the speed of light, this realm of life, all of life as we know it can be summed up in a countless amount of timelines. Everything has a timeline. Every hair on your head has a timeline. Maybe even every cell in your body is safe to say has a timeline. So imagine if you lived in a world that didn't adhere to the speed of light, that didn't adhere to time itself. There was no time. Instead, it's a file, like on your computer, and you can access anything that you want on that file. Boom, boom, boom. There it is, and bring it up. So a lot of times when these spirits like show us things, they're playing something back from the past. They're showing us something. They're helping us identify with something through our senses. And we have five senses, but internally we have much more. But they're helping us on a subliminal level, and they're helping us on a very real level of understanding. We smell that perfume. You know, we feel that kiss on the cheek. They want us to know that they're around. But then you have the entities that push people downstairs, you know, that scratch, bruise people, beat people up, rape people, rape. Yeah. I have men, women tell me that they have been raped by entities, spirits, whatever. They're not docile. That's for sure. Some of them invited, you know, I used to know this chick who got into all kinds of crazy rituals. She would go off, get naked, you know, roll around on the ground and invite things to come in. But, yeah, there's people out there that are like that. What they're doing is they're doing something very dangerous, and they're living in a world that is unreal to many people. You know, people say, okay, that person's crazy. Huh? What's the definition of crazy? I mean, as a private investigator, I can tell you that I see a lot of crazy out there. There's people who are 5, 6, 7, 8 times crazy, you know, 10 types of crazy. So what's crazy, or, you know, easier to say, what's not crazy? I've never seen normal, because I don't know what normal is. You know, I don't even know. I know people say, act your age. I don't even know what that is. Yeah, how am I supposed to know, since I've never been this age before? You know what I mean? So you just live your life, not in somebody else's judgment. I don't live life for anybody else but myself. A lot of people end up living their lives for other people or other things or other entities or whatever you want to call it. But the reality is that can mess your energy up. And you know, in martial arts, we say it's our chi, which are as our vital body energy that flows through our body. And when you get sick or something happens or whatever, we say that your chi gets stuck. You got a pain in your arm, your leg, your foot. You know what? You go get acupressure, acupuncture. You take care of it. You take care of yourself. There are methods and ways of doing these things, right? So there's all kinds of schools of thought out there. And I think the one interesting part about life in the realm that we live it right now is that there are so many different types of people to learn from. I've learned from old Chinese men on the top of mountains. I've learned from, you know, old Negroes in Far Rockaway, Queens. I've learned from, you know, Native Americans. I've learned from all kinds of people, you know, German, Irish, whatever you say, Italian. Everybody's got their own culture. Those groups anyway have a background. And even us here in America, we have this background. Plus, you know, we're a melting pot, which is beautiful because we share the strengths of each other. That's what I really appreciate about this country, is that we share those strengths from one another. So you can be strong unto yourself, but if there's four or five or six of you being strong for each other, that's unbelievable strength, right? A combination. A powerful, powerful entity in of itself. So when I see these things go down, I talk to people out there in the world. I was a writer for a long time down in Long Island in the city, and I got to meet a lot of people. I went to the book fairs. I was an entertainment writer, you know? So I got to go to the book fairs. I got to be a judge in the Battle of the Bands in Long Island and New Music Seminar in New York City, stuff like that. I did that a couple years in a row. It was fun while it lasted, but I got to meet book writers. I got to meet people who were Audrina Dunwich, who is writes books, is Wiccan, and I got to learn a lot about Wiccan, and you know, people like Scott Cunningham, amazing people unto themselves. They live a certain life, you know. I mean, Scott passed away, but these guys live a certain life, and they. It's like they are from the past sometimes, you know. When people practice old arts, it just kind of takes them over. And it's interesting because I know a lot of mediums, obviously, and psychics because, you know, that's part of what I do. I mean, we use them in our investigations, and I've always been around psychics all my life. My mom was into it. My mom even went to see John Edwards from who was in Queens at the time. He was going to St. John's University as a student, doing readings on the side. So my mother and my sister both were able to get readings from him. I wasn't around at that time to do it, but I had some great psychics. And this guy, David in Brooklyn, he was amazing. Just people, the people that give you great information. What you can do with it, I don't know. You know, it's fun getting a reading, but ultimately they can tell you all kinds of stuff. But unless you can really paint the picture and say this is exactly going to happen on this mark, that's one thing. I think that you can, if you have the heads up for something, you can look out for it. But I think it's hard to live like that, thinking that you got to look out for this thing. Oh, you're going to slip and fall. Well, yeah. When, how, where, you know, what should I look out for? So it's kind of like that. So psychics are good for a lot of different things. Mediums are great. But out of all of them that I've ever known, they all tell me I was an old Chinese man one time. It's pretty funny. And then my, you know, my connection with old world China, with martial arts, with things like that is just so deep and so huge, so amazing. I felt this since I was a child, you know, it just flows through my body. So it makes sense, right? I believe in reincarnation. I've had people on the show like Dick Sutphin. We talked about reincarnation, Robbie Thomas. We talked about reincarnation a bit, you know what I mean? But when it comes to protecting yourself, like, one of my favorite investigations to reference is this place called the Taylor House that we did up in Lyons, New York. And we've been there a few times. We kept going back because it was worthwhile. It was like an information warehouse. Just, man, look at this paranormal stuff, pictures, sounds, voices, sentences. Amazing evidence, evidence you can't dispute. Say no, bubble floating through the air, some kind of weird orb that people can swear this is this and that's that. This is a person, the shape of somebody. Look at their face, look at their body, look at their arms. They weren't there. They're a spirit, And it's exciting when you cap this type of evidence. So every time we went there, we always brought mediums, except the first time. First time we didn't. Every time after that. The first time we didn't, and we realized that we needed to, because through Pete's Dowsing Rods, Peter Canellis, he and I do these investigations together. Through Pete's Dowsing Rods, we had determined there was a load of people there. I think like 14 people or something like that. Sometimes there's a situation where there's so many people that you have to ask for one of them to come forward and communicate with you, because a lot of times they'll all start barking at you at the same time, and it gets confusing. We did a train crash that was like that, the 99th anniversary of this train crash, and there was still a lot of them there, and we, at one point, we could hear them walking around us in the gravel on the ground. We could hear them dragging their feet and walking around us, so that was pretty interesting. So, but we had this psychic medium with us. She already had her nose at a joint because we had invited two other psychic mediums to the event, to our investigation. So we don't like to tell mediums anything anyway before an investigation. They know the address, and that's pretty much it. I don't like to give any background because I want them to tell me, because in that investigation, that's kind of my side investigation to see how accurate, how good they are. And I've been really shocked at times and surprised, shocked the whole bit. Like, wow, man, people are saying stuff that's incredible, that they couldn't possibly have known. So, and before I go into a location, I do all the research on the location, the history. I know who died there, what happened there, what the neighbors did, whatever. So I like to know things. And that's the only way to do a thorough investigation. Then you call out to names that those people will hit on, and that's what you want to do. You want to create an intelligent connection, and you want to be able to use devices that they can communicate through intelligently, right? So it's more than like, look at this crap floating in the air. It's a hair, or there's a spider on the lens, something like that. I mean, I get a lot of that. I had this woman show me this video. She sent me this video like years ago. She swears an alien ship landed in their front yard and I don't know what it did. It just landed and hung out in her driveway and took off. So she sends me this video. So check it out, right? She has an outside camera facing the driveway. It's snowing outside. A snowflake hit the lens, and I guess hung out on the lens. Maybe a couple snowflakes hit the lens, and it dripped down a little bit. So of course, it was illuminated by the camera itself and by the light that was out there. Blah 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 blah. It wasn't a UFO. It was a snowflake. But there are people out there that believe that anything that happens in their house means it's haunted. They hear a creak. I know who that is. You hear a tap, or your heat's coming up. Tap, 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 tap. Oh, it's my grandfather. That's him. That's the way he used to tap all the time on the table. Tap, 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 tap. It's Morse code for how are you doing? Yeah. So, yeah, we don't mess with that. We like real evidence, as real as we can make it. We use everything, every piece of equipment you can imagine. Everything and anything, and there's sometimes an explanation for most things. Yeah, that's not paranormal. But then you get the real information, the real evidence, then there is an explanation. So anyway, we're in the Taylor House. The guy that owned the house, it's 11,000 square foot building, right? So you have the main house, it was built in the 1800s, and then you have this annex to it. So over the years, it was like a treatment center for rehab. I mean, people have been living there. It was a tenement. You know, there was a thing for Boy Scouts. It was like the town center, basically, at one point. It was a community center. So a lot of activity over the years. And then earlier in the days when it was tenement, a lot of death, a lot of just stuff in general. We got some amazing stories out of the place and from the people in the neighborhood, right? So we encountered this kid that, you know, contacted us. We heard him on the EVP, you know, contacted us through dowels and rods. We had to put a flashlight on the floor. Every time I asked that flashlight to go on or off, it did. I mean, it like maybe 8 times in a row or something like that. More than if you put a flashlight down and just let it sit there and watch it, you know, yeah, it might go on, it might go off, it might be responding to thumps on the floor or something like that. Pete and I were deadly still, and this thing was just going on and off like crazy. Anyway, he actually said his name was Cahill. We have it on as an EVP, and it was just a really active building. So anyway, we go back in there. The guy that owned the building was trying to renovate it, and he had sent a crew in. They tore all the walls down inside, like all the sheetrock, plaster, all of that. So basically, it's like a stilt. You walk in, it was really nice before, you know, it was like nice hallways, heavy set, heavy, you know, heavy walls, that old type of plaster, everything pulled apart, man. Now, if you want to get spirits riled, that's how you do it. You start pulling things apart. You start driving, it drives them nuts. You know, it changes their environment. It changes their world. It changes all that stuff. So we went in there. There was a lot of anger. And then we went upstairs to the second floor. All these guys, I got the camera. I'm kind of following. And a few people in front of me, a couple people next to me, that type of thing. We walk into this room from two different doors because the room actually had three different doors. But since it was all stilt stuff, it was easier to walk through. So we walk in two different doors. Someone threw a nail at us from across the room, from across the other side. It came kind of at me. It landed next to me. I was like, what the hell is this? And then I thought, yeah, maybe it's just because people pulled the walls apart. It was just some nail hanging up. But someone actually saw it flying through the air at us. So that was pretty interesting. So Tammy, the psychic with the attitude problem, she kind of went over in the back of the room, really big, long room. She went over in the back of the room, and she was just kind of pacing around. We had another medium that I was talking to, Nicole Verardi, right? Nicole's coming out with us, a ton of investigations. So talking to her, getting her sense of the place, it was her first time being there. And then Cindy Thompson, another medium, really good at what she does. So we're talking, and you can feel like the negativity building in the room. And Tammy had been weirded out and negative since she realized there was going to be other women, other psychics, other women who came in who were psychics. I think that was the issue. And people get all crazy, you know. But all of a sudden, I'm on the camera, I'm talking to Nicole, but I see Tammy like pacing around, like start like growling and doing all these things, and talking like, hey, you get to that room. I'm like, damn, are you okay? Everything okay? She's like, that boy's not leaving his room. We were calling out to the little boy, Cahill, because his room that we found him in was in the back there. So we called out to him. That boy's not leaving his room. She had this real distorted, crazy look. She didn't even look like herself. She looked like a guy. She had this crazy look to her face, the wild eyes. So then she runs out into the hallway. And I'm like, well, okay, let's go outside. You know, I told these guys to take Tammy downstairs. You know, make sure they had a flashlight, all that other stuff. So she's like, just flipping, like, you know, pulling on her hair. I gotta get out of here. And then she went to run up the stairs, which on the second floor, those stairs went up to the attic where we encountered this crazy entity up there. Some old preacher that had did terrible things to people in that house, like back in the day. But because it was a church house at one time, originally, there was a church across the street that sort of belonged to it all, you know. But and we had known that a girl fell over the banister, the stairs that went downstairs. It was a huge banister. A girl had fell over, whether she was pushed or whether she fell or whether she committed suicide, whatever. She fell and died. Cindy Thompson was the one. We walked through the door. She knew nothing about the place. We knew about the girl, you know, and Pete's got a 42-minute argument between this girl and some dude, an EVP. There's a building, an 11,000-square-foot building, 1 o'clock in the morning. They capture this 42-minute-long argument between this guy, and at the end of the argument, you could hear boom, boom, crash, like something happened, like maybe somebody fell like that, you know. So we walk in, Cindy Thompson, like, a girl died right here. She fell over the banister and died. And that's where we got the picture of the girl with a picture of a full-body apparition in that doorway. And also, at one time when I came back in, we took a break from that investigator. All right, I'll catch up there. So before that, let me get back to what I was talking about. So Tammy starts getting, like, possessed by this dude. She's, like, trying to get out of there. She starts running around like a freaking maniac. Luckily, Pete was right there by that banister. Otherwise, she probably would have went right over like that girl and had fallen. And it was quite a ways down. This is a really old building, you know, that had the real high ceilings. So it was quite a ways down. But Pete took them outside. I stayed inside with Cindy and her daughter, Jessie. And then we were kind of provoking that entity that was upstairs there, that preacher. It was pretty cool. But then we all went outside. Tammy was out in the parking lot grounding herself. You know how to ground yourself? You lay down on the ground. You lay down on the ground. You get into the grass. You get on the soil, whatever you got to do, even with concrete. When you lay down, it's like that. It takes that electric away from you, that charge. You know, it's like an electric charge that they do when psychics get, you know, when they channel it like that. So she was grounding herself and she was pushing that stuff out. They were all sitting around bullcrapping, people taking a break because it was pretty intense. You know, we decided to go back inside. We go back inside and way down the hallway, huge building, about 60 feet literally, there's a large area, and there was a table in the middle there, and we had all of our equipment on that table, like the boxes for stuff and whatever. We had security lights everywhere, the kind of the motion detectors to get a walk in front of to go off, you know, to turn on. All of them were on. Well, as soon as we walked back in the door, you know, they're all on. So something was meandering around our equipment, and as soon as I walked in the door, I was the first one in, had the camera in my hand, microphones facing forward. You hear a girl humming, you know, like it was like that. She was humming this tune, and when I listened to it later on, I was like, what the heck? Because nobody would have hummed in our investigation. Nobody was out there in this investigation, like, and nobody passed me. Nobody went inside. The microphone wouldn't even hear them. But everybody was way behind me. So the interesting part is, when I played it back to people, they're like, man, like they identified with an image of what that girl is, you know, because they're in that building. Like, these mediums, they can see things, they see people, they do all that, right? It's just really weird how it all played out like that. And then how Cindy said that girl had fallen in the whole bed. But that's these investigations. And then, you know, you can't say there wasn't bad people. I mean, you can see this investigation. It's on my YouTube. So if you go to youtube.com/discoveryparanormal, all one word, paranormal, you'll find these videos under American Ghost Hunters, you know. There's a Taylor House. I did one called the Taylor House Redux or something like that. A whole bunch of Taylor House stuff. But, man, you feel it. It's not like you're standing in some empty building talking to no one, because you know that this entity is communicating back with you. Pete and I ended up, all the girls went down to the place in the, like, they wanted to do this seance, like, kind of send, you know, send these spirits across them over, right? So we determined that the best possible place for that was the good area in the building, the area that had the best energy, which was actually in like the it's like a hall, like it looks like a gymnasium, you know, it's a big open area. And Boy Scouts, like I said, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, all of them had the thing. They had a jamboree there, stuff like that. Good energy right there. Pete and I decided to go to the attic, which had the worst energy. I mean, it was nasty up there, including all the rat turds. There's whatever, raccoons, like raccoon turds. It was horrible. But so we ended up going up there. Pete whips out some holy water. And then, like, you know, his dad was around the point that this preacher running around trying to stay away from us, hiding behind this thing of carpet. I'm whipping holy water around, yelling at this guy to get out, keeping him busy so he couldn't disturb what the girls were doing when they were doing their little seance. And so we recorded both at the same time. It was really interesting. And then after they were done, I mean, Pete and I were not in communication with them because they were in a whole other part of the building. We were upstairs in the attic. So keep this in mind. We didn't know what they were doing, but I could feel the building physically get lighter. Same for Pete. We both said it on camera at the same time that we could feel the building get lighter, you know. And then after the fact, we all left. We did our thing. Pete had, like maybe a month or two later, Pete had a friend coming from out of town. And they were curious about that place and some other places. So, you know, the one friend, he took them up there just to go inside. And they started asking the dowsing rods, and they were like, you know, thanks. You got an EVP saying, thanks, we're all alone now. So I guess the girls had sent as many people as they could. When I went past the place, we did a jail. We did the Lions jail that was down the road from there. And then that was like around the holidays after this investigation, which was a while ago. So we did the Lions jail. Then after that, you know, we took separate cars. So I'm leaving. I'm going past this, the Taylor house. Like, I ended up on the same road where the Taylor house is, going past there. Man, talk about a creepy feeling and a feeling of anger, pissed off. Like, don't you come in here. Not you. We know who you are. Like, man, man, pretty cool. You know? And that's it. You know, sometimes you got to provoke these bastards to get them out. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. You got to push them out. If you're living in a situation where you have entities, like I got a friend who sent me videos the other night. She bought a record player and then was, you know, turned the record player on, put a Led Zeppelin song on there, and then she's taping, like, you know, recording it with her. I got to stop saying taping. She was recording it with her phone, and at one point, it all slowed down. Not the recording slowed down. And that's how it recorded. So it recorded like in slow motion. And, you know, of course, that you hear a record when it's like that. You know, she thought it was a demon, some kind of demon. And I said, probably just your phone, you know, having a hard time processing. And then so that's how it recorded. Maybe it was doing other stuff at the same time. You got to look for a reason. You got to just, you can't just say, oh, look at this. This is what it is. It's demons, you know. And it's like, you got to look for the reason, like, you know, why would this happen? And try to recreate it, do it. So she taped it, you know, recorded it again, and then nothing happened. It just recorded normal. But she thinks that something was there. But then she's, like, getting all this weird feelings in her apartment. Like, the feelings, because I always ask people, it's not really about the event. That's the thing that makes you notice something. I ask them, how do you feel? How did you feel at the time? You know, so if you're like, well, I didn't feel anything at all. I just, this was a weird thing that happened. That's different than saying, man, I felt really horrible, or I felt, you know, scared or something like that. So she said that she felt intruded upon, literally intruded upon. So my answer was, get rid of the record player. And it's not like the record player is haunted by one spirit per se, but if a spirit holds on to that record player, they could be in a whole different place, but at the same time have their hands on that record player and maybe, you know, show up where that thing is. I have a friend that bought a fridge that went through the same thing, a refrigerator, seriously. And then she brought this fridge to her house. It was acting all weird. You know, then her lights in her house started going on and off, and there was footsteps, the whole bit. She got rid of the fridge, and then the problem went. And it wasn't like some electrical thing. She checked it out, had this guy check out the electrical thing on it, whatever. It was okay. It wasn't fluctuating, and it wouldn't have made her lights go on and off anyway, you know. But something had entered. So it's like you invite something in, something can come in. And you got pushed out. So, like, my friend was kind of cavalier about it. But she was like, well, it's okay. You know, I'm used to this, that, and that thing happening. I'm like, well, it's not okay. You know, I was in the antique business. I can tell you that I had items come into my store that would change the entire store. You know, it would just change the whole feeling of the store. And I had a store for only for a short time because I was more into the buy and sell, and then came eBay and stuff like that, which made life easier. But, you know, it was weird having the store because of that energy switch. You bring old stuff in, you're going to get, you know, I mean, especially people love it. They have a collection. You know, you kick the bucket, you had some beautiful collection, and then here comes your family. They don't honor, they don't care. They don't care about your collection. It's not their collection. They inherited it. To them, it's money. And they call some cutthroat, like an antique guy like me, even though I wasn't a cutthroat, I was always giving people fair deals at least. But that's one of the reasons why I left the business, because it was full of a bunch of cutthroats and it just was bad energy all around. But I had stuff coming to the store that was just bad energy. And then my friend Jeff, who was in the antique business for a long time, antiques and jewelry, he had this fat pirate, gold painted pirate. It was made of natural materials, like kind of like a heavy type of hay, but it was like shellac on it, and they painted it over the years. So he said originally it was a Santa Claus. It was like some old-time Santa Claus. And then he painted it gold. He thought it looked like a fat pirate, and that's kind of the way, you know, we refer to ourselves as pirates, you know. So he painted it. And then I was like, yeah, what do you want for it? And he laughed. And he's like, you don't want to buy it. I'm like, why not? I'm like, it's kind of cool. I could prop it up. It looked pretty cool. What do you want for it? He's like, okay, give me $25. I'm like, psh, it's a deal, Shmuel. I gave him 25 bucks, took the thing home. All of a sudden, everything started going wrong. Like, everything was breaking, plumbing problems, electrical problems, life problems, relationship problems, all kinds of weird stuff, man. Just stupid computer problems, like just whatever. So I just felt like when I took that thing in my house, there was just something negative attached to it. I just, you know, all this bad stuff was happening. So I went back to him and I'm like, you want to buy the power pack? And he laughed. He's like, what's the matter? Is there a problem? Like acting like a douche. And I was like, you know what? I took this thing, and then all of a sudden, everything's falling apart. And he laughed. He's like, yeah, that's what everybody says. So I hear 25 bucks back. And he took it back, and it sat there in his shop, you know. And I don't know what happened to that thing. Whoever has it right now ain't happy. I'll tell you that. They ain't happy. So it's energy, and you have to be able to dispel that type of energy. You got to be able to get rid of it, dump it. Do you have to do to just send it away? Because if you don't send it away, what's going to happen? It's going to interfere with your life. It's going to interfere with your daily life. I know people that lost their jobs because they couldn't sleep anymore, and they were obsessed with the shit that was going on in their lives from these entities that they invited in. So then you see these ghost hunters. There's a couple different types of ghost hunters out there, or should I say paranormal. My friend Mike hates the term ghost hunters. So, all right, Mike, paranormal investigators, you're right. Let's not dumb it down. There's a few types, actually. And then you get the ones who, I don't know, they just like to do it as a group activity with their friends, and it's interesting, and they're sort of, you know, curious. And they always take these fearsome pictures of themselves, you know, the guys who stand there with their arms crossed. I also know people who are real paranormal investigators, mediums and all. They do the same thing. They pose with their arms crossed, looking like all tough, like, oh, I'm tough and I'm going into this empty building. And, man, when I come out, my pants will be scared off of me because it's going to be crazy. You know? It's like that. They always paint themselves as like they're like Navy SEALs going in to take out some terrorists or something. You know, you're talking about going into a building, basically, some empty, some not, and communicating with something that is kind of there, but is not really there. And you want to find out why it's there to tell it to go. That's really what it is. But then you get people who like make a business out of it. They rent it out, and then they get. This is one guy I had on the show. I'm not going to mention his name because there's just no point. But he's got this house that he rents out upstate New York. You know, initially, I thought the guy was kind of like, you know, looking to preserve the place because it was a stagecoach stop and it's got a lot of rich history. When I talked to him on the show, he didn't even know 90% of the history that I found out about the house, which was very telling on the direction that he was taking it. Then he started renting it out to groups to come in, to stay over and provoke entities, whatever. It's just, to me, that's just a sort of pointless, you know. It's not like these ghost hunters, you know, and one, there's no experts, you know, in ghost hunting because it's always different. You're always dealing with different situations. There might be some things that are similar, but basically it's always different. But these guys that put themselves out there, like, they're like these amazing ghost hunters and they know all these things and that, they're the ones who get in the biggest trouble. And they're the ones who are narrow-minded and they end up letting things into their lives. But then you know people who actually have a real zest for it. You know, I have a lot of friends that get into it. They do great work. They try to figure things out. And on the surface, even if you take it at face value and they go into someone's house, they try to help the people in that house. When they leave at the end of the night, if those people in the house feel better about life, they've done a great service to them for free. You know, people I know don't charge. You know, psychics charge, but for the ghost hunting and all that, the people I know don't charge because it's an investigation to them. It's something that they feel drawn to. It's a powerful energy in all of our lives. And once you experience that type of energy, you know, it's not like a simple sense that we take in, you know, it's more like the depth of it that you feel inside and the connection. And you really want to help people. You know, when you find those kids who are lost, and then you get people who will say, those aren't kids, those are demons. Well, how do you know? Oh, because the Bible says, all right, stop right there. Don't preach the Bible. It was written by a man. You know, I'm not interested in knowing about that. There's the Old Testament, which I think that a lot of wisdom came from other places, but there's the New Testament where they became very judgmental and got awfully weird and controlling. So let's not get religious. Let's just talk about how you feel. Do you feel that it's a negative entity? We've had people around that kid Cahill. Nobody felt it was a negative entity. People thought it was a kid. And then we found out at a later time that some kid guy had gotten run over in the street when he was like 5 or 6 years old, right in front of that Taylor house. So it's very real. You know, these investigations are very real. And it's when you hear voices in between, if it's just Pete and I talking, I know his voice. He knows my voice. You know, I have a very distinctive voice, and so does he. So we're not going to sit there whispering or do weird stuff or talk weird, but we get that all the time. We get these amazing EVPs, people talking to us. And at Taylor House, it was the same male every time that would talk to us. But we got this one crazy, creepy voice, like when they were like, you know, Cahill loves you. Cahill wants you to take him home. That's what it said. Cahill loves you. Cahill wants you to take him home. All right. I got no ghost adoption service, man. You know, our thing is you would cross them over or you stay here. You know what I mean? And then when you leave a place, you surround yourself with that white light. And white light's an interesting thing because really you imagine it. You know, something that it's your imagination, you're that white light, is coming from inside of you. So when it comes to that type of stuff, you have to be careful not to trap things inside of you. So if you're feeling all kinds of despair and you're feeling weird about life or whatever, and then you say, okay, I'm going to surround myself with this white light and, you know, let it spiral out, you're not taking care of the inside of you. So what I learned was that it's like a starburst from inside of you that explodes and blasts everything bad that's out. Then that white light goes around you, all through your house, through your pets, your family, anybody you want to protect, anybody that you want to show that, well, you know, put that web over and protect. It's like a web of protection, I always call it. So anybody that you want to protect, is it mental? Is it just something that we're telling our brains? Is it a feeling? Maybe some scientists will say that. But I know people who are real in the know, who work in the field, that do amazing things, that say this is what you do to ground yourself and protect yourself. So, and I like picking their brains, you know? Is there an exact science to this? Is there an exact science to anything? Yeah, you know, some things maybe in the world, some things not. It is what it is. But I think if you're going to go into a dangerous situation, you need to be prepared to handle anything out of that dangerous situation. Otherwise, things are going to follow you home. Look at that dude from The Ghost Adventures. Even though I think that they're full of crap, you know, 90% of the time is what they do as effect for television to make that money, to sell those commercials. You know, maybe ghosts don't dance for you on demand. And then, especially the way these guys do it, you know, they go into places with a lot of people, especially the Ghost Hunter guys, the Taps. You know, they go into a place with 40, 50 people for a couple weeks at a time, and they would, like, just rake right through the place. That doesn't help the energy of the place, that's for sure. It makes it kind of the Walmart of a paranormal world. So, but the one guy from The Ghost Adventures, he actually left the show. And then, you know, his life fell apart. His woman left him. There was plates flying out of his closet. All kinds of crazy stuff happening in the house. You know, you do these negative places. You put yourself out there. And maybe you can't shake some stuff off. I mean, these guys went into some really heavy places. Places that terrible things have happened. And you can pick up on that energy. That thing follows you around. Anything could happen. So important to protect yourself. Ground yourself. Protect yourself. Use the white light technique. It works for everybody that I know. I mean, all kinds of people, mediums from all ages, will tell you about that white light. And also, be careful. You know, don't cross your arms and think you're a tough person, tough guy, and walk into some heavy-duty place, and all of a sudden you're going to have a horrible life because that thing is going to follow you home. So I'll leave you guys with that. This is Michael Angley on Discovery Paranormal. Thank you for listening. You're on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 in Paris, Christiane. ¿Qué pasa?
You clear, man.
You like my ¿Qué pasa?
I know. ¿Qué pasa, Mom? What's happening? Let's put this up there.
Ooh. So what does Lily White look like? Is there a picture of her out there?